Kobe Bryant off balance. Yeah. And Shaquille O'Neal is there. Bryant, touchdown FAU.
And Fulham are surely heading back to the Premier League.
The Denver Nuggets stand on top of the NBA world.
The Philadelphia.
Oh, welcome. Man, a little frog in the throat there. Welcome to the end of the year. This is the last episode. And then tomorrow is the new year. Are you one of these people that believe, like, the new year changes everything? I'm like, it's all no. Just one long ride, guys.
Yeah. No, I'm still at the gym. I was at the gym this morning. I'll be at the gym tomorrow morning. Nothing changes.
Yeah, I was at the gym today, and you know what? So many new people at the gym. I'm like, oh, wow. A lot of people starting their New Year's resolutions a little early. I was like, man, I got to fit in to get on a machine.
Well, the crazy thing for me is when I first moved to New York, I was doing the, like, 2022. I'm in New York now. That'll be my year. And then, yeah. Okay. And then I did the same thing going into 2023, and I really did it going into 2024. So I guess I'm saying, no, I'm not one of those people, but that's a newfound, that's thing.
There's two different approaches. Let me say, like, I think, like, restarting your year, like having New Year's resolutions, things you want to accomplish in a year is fine. But, like, I was listening to a podcast earlier when I was on my way to the gym, and one of the people said, oh, 2024 was so trash. I'm ready for 2025. It's like, no, life just continues. Like, if,
yeah,
like, whatever was trash, it just doesn't stop being bad in
it's
the
not
new
like
year.
The universe is like, guys, pack it up, reset.
Yeah, it's not like you playing Sega and you died in one level. It's like, all right, hit the reset button. Let's start Sonic all over again. It's like, that's not how
you're
it works.
You're still on that level.
You're still on this level.
It's like the newer games where you would get like a save checkpoint like right before you died, like the autosave ones. So you just keep respawning to die.
Yeah.
Like that's what it is. That's what it is. It's not a total reset. Like, you're just, it's a new day.
You're just
back
where
you left off. Yeah.
You're back where you just were. Like,
yeah. So I'm excited for the new year, but I don't know. Like I said, going into 2024 when I was collaborating with Full Charge on a bunch of stuff and I was like, tentatively getting
That wasn't all 24, was it?
Yeah, that's like the podcast launched in 2024, The Power of How.
Launched in this quite frankly has been the longest year of my life.
We recorded a bunch
and Matt moved all in 2024.
We recorded a bunch in 2023, but we didn't launch until like February of 24. And so like we had that. I was soft passed at a bunch of clubs to where I wasn't getting booked, but like they would call me like last second to go up and do spots. So going into 24, I was like, oh, this is the moment. Just quote Starship Troopers, this is when it turns. And then it didn't. In fact, I went backwards in my career a little bit. And so now,
I don't know necessarily.
But you know what I'm saying? Like I got just as many spots as I did before. And like, so going into 2025, I'm a little more tentative.
But I'd say trepidation is always key to life, you know, undersell, expectate, and then when something comes to fruition, you're like, ooh, look at that.
Under expect, over deliver
on life. Well, it's different because you can't do the deliver. It's like life. Like if you expect less out of life and then life provides you with an abundance, it's like, oh, look at all this. I didn't expect to have all this extra stuff. This is great. But you're in a committed relationship, serious relationship now.
Yeah.
Look at you. You got
the love of my life
to the highest house later.
Yeah.
We're recording this
right
on
here, looking at the
New
love
Year's
of my life.
Eve, by the way. Then I'd say the podcast had probably one of its best years.
That is true.
Ex-Drinking Buddy, that is. I would say you had people who have had comedy specials on Comedy Central. You had a writer from SNL on this year.
Yeah.
You've had a bunch of consistent working comedians in and around New York. You have a flight booked out to LA in a couple of weeks here. Like, you're doing it, buddy.
I guess we're doing it. It's hard to see the forest through the trees, you know?
Sometimes it's hard, man, when you're at the bottom of the redwood, you can't see how beautiful the tree is at the top. And it's like, oh, man, You know, I'm standing.
It's like when you're at the bottom of the mountain and then someone's taking a picture from 2 miles away and you're like, this sucks. They're like, it's so beautiful.
So, all right. Speaking of all of these mountains and trees, we're going to get into the NFL.
Okay.
Because they planted a lot of trees over this last week. And I think not the greatest of returns. We'll talk about that wholesale before we get to the actual games. But we do have the original kickoff. We have some NFL games to get to. Some college previews and NBA, see where we're at right now. Then we got the quick hits with the NHL standings and Fulham Corner. Big week in Fulham history.
Big week.
So, without further ado.
Ready to return the opening kickoff. Perfect way to kick off. Here we go.
Brandon, I just want to really just a statement. The NFL, do you think the NFL did right by its fans, the players, and the product by diluting it over this last week with games on Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday?
No, I think, and then there was a game on the Monday night before. I think it was too much. It was too, it was incredibly frustrating because, like, I have Sundays off from work. So, like, my favorite thing to do on Sunday is sit next to Tracy. We sit on the couch. I put on the TV. I got the laptop going. I got three, four different screens. I'm checking stats on my phone and just take in football, watch the different games, do all that fun stuff. But like, I work in a restaurant, so like, I'm working Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, you know what I mean? Like, I'm so for me personally, I didn't like it because I didn't get to catch a lot of the games, but also it creates a lesser product because when you play such a violent sport and you have such little rest, you're not getting the best product on the field. I mean, we've talked about this in basketball forever, especially with the advent of like load management. It's like, well, then just have less games.
Yeah.
Like someone made a good point. They were like, oh, they were going to see a friend, or not a friend, someone I listened to on a podcast was going to see a game in LA. And they were like, oh, this is so cool. I get to see Steph Curry. And then the person they were going with was like, no, he's not playing today. Dude. And they were like, what if someone got like Clipper tickets for Christmas to go see Steph Curry play against the Clippers? And it's just like, no, he's not playing today. And you really think about it and you're like, oh yeah, because there's so many games packed in. And now football is trending in that direction where Patrick Mahomes, they've already secured the one seed. It's like, he doesn't need to play. He's going to play because he's Patrick Mahomes, but it's like, he doesn't have to.
He's not playing.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, he's not playing.
Keith's already said they're benching everybody. Well, going into the last game, but yes, this week I see you're right.
Yeah, this week he could have not played. And it's just, and the contracts aren't guaranteed. So as a player, you're like, every week matters. Every week matters.
Well, I love that you're looking at it from the holistic player body point of view. I'm going to, you know, not go that way because that's usually what I would do. But as you said, you're off on Sundays. Me, I'm living for Sundays. As far as an NFL fan, like, don't give me a third. I can care less about Thursday night football, Monday night football, take it or leave it. I love Sundays.
Yeah.
Nothing like seven games in the early window, five games in the late window.
Let's go.
And then if there's a good Sunday night, locking into that.
Chris Collinsworth?
We had about
Mike Tirico.
I think we had four games in the early window, four or five games in the 1 o'clock window. And two games in the 4 o'clock window. What are
one
we
of
doing?
Them was Miami Browns. So
one of them was
one
Miami
game
Browns
in the 4 o'clock
with
window.
Tyler Huntley and Dorian Thomas Robinson. Thompson Robinson, however you say his name. Because apparently he doesn't want people to say DTR. I'm saying DTR. Yeah, you had Snoop Huntley and DTR in one game. I can't remember the other game. That's how meaningless it was to me.
The other games was the Vikings.
That was a good game. Well, that wasn't that good of a game until it got good again, but we'll get to that shortly. But yeah, like, for the 4 o'clock window, that's why I don't remember that other game, because for the 4 o'clock window, I was like, there's two games. I was like, all right, babe, let's go to the gym now. Like, let's just go to the gym. There's nothing to do here anymore. Like, the Eagles won.
In fact,
won,
I did
right,
the same
great.
Thing. I was like, don't have the game on the TV.
I'll see it in pass. Like, I'm out of here. Like, what are we doing? So,
The
Sunday
gym has
games,
TVs everywhere. I could catch the highlights and stuff as I was
did
walking.
You watch any of the Christmas Day games? Probably not, because you were working.
No, I was at work for like 7
I was about to say, I saw right now, because of how Christmas is for me with the fiance and everything, we go to her dad's house in the morning Then we go to her mom's house in the afternoon. Then me, her, her sisters, and her mom go to the movies. So I was able to see parts of all four. I was able to see parts of four out of five of the basketball games. One basketball game I was able to see in its full duration. I saw two drives in the Chiefs-Steelers game, and I saw one drive in the Ravens game. And both of those games were done before they started. Yeah. Both of them were boat races. Both of them looked dreadful. Like, the teams didn't look... They looked like they had 2 days to prepare. Like, and the better team won out. Like, it was just a scheduled loss for Pittsburgh and the Texans. So...
Yeah, and it's not... I just don't... Because the value comes from the rarity. Like, the value comes from...
The scarcity, yes.
Yeah, I take Sundays off because when I was given the option at work, they were like, you can keep Sundays and take off Tuesday, or you can take off Sundays and work Tuesday. I was like, give me Sundays off, baby. Like, football, let's go.
Like,
and then they do this, and it's like...
viewing.
Yeah, and now it's like, I mean, I think they'll do it again. It's a money grab. You know, you
can't compete with the almighty dollar. Oh, next year Christmas is on Thursday.
Yeah, so they'll have the Thursday games. So
they're definitely going to have Thursday games.
But there's also a reason we talked about one Thursday game this entire season. And when I put it in the rundown, you were like,
I barely
we don't do
about.
Thursday games. I was like, yeah, but this was like an end-all, be-all, really good comeback game from the Bengals. And you're like, yeah, we don't do Thursday.
I don't do Thursday. I hate when they start doing the Saturday games.
I hate it.
I hate when they start doing that.
Also,
I watched one of the Saturday games this week. And I didn't see the other two.
I know we're not big on college football, other than the, you know, the nation's favorite game, who's in, who's out, who's up, who's down.
Yes, and the Miami Hurricanes. Who fired Lance Guidry today? Thank fucking God. Took too long.
But the weird thing is like the only time I'll watch college football is if I'm around people who are like really into college football. Like my cousin, Tom, he loves college football. And I don't know why. Like he went to Stetson, but he loves college football.
Just heard you talk about that.
Yeah. And so like I'll watch it. Like if I'm with him, because like if I was with you and you wanted to watch something, I'd be like, yeah, because we both love sports. I love competition. I can still like, and I played divisional college football. Like I can still watch it.
You don't know who the guys are, but you know the game.
But that the problem is once the NFL starts bleeding in with college, then like all my podcasts that I like to listen to, they're talking about college and the NFL. And I'm like, No. I come here to talk about Sunday's games. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like if they have a recap show Sunday night, it's like, oh, did you see the NFL games on Saturday plus the college? And I'm like, this is not, you're diluting. Like, no. Now you're diluting my product.
Other things.
Already been diluted.
Yeah. So NFL, stay in your lane. You took Sunday from Jesus.
Yeah, you took like, Sunday from God.
What more do you want? How much more can you get? How much fatter can this cat be?
Yeah, it's gluttonous for sure.
All right. Let's quickly run through the games. Brendan, do you have the time?
I do have the time. In fact, it's time for Game of the Week.
Game of the Week. Game of the Week, Sunday Night Football. If you weren't locked in, I feel bad for you because we were treated to a really good one. I don't usually
going into this. Did you think like this is going to be a dud?
No, because both teams were fighting for their playoff lives in different scenarios. So I thought this should have shook out to be a good game. And it ended up doing so. We're talking about the Washington Commanders. I love to call them the Commies. And the Atlanta Falcons. Jaden Daniels put on a hell of a performance.
Clinic.
What'd you say?
Clinic.
Oh. I feared for him like I was his father or his mother. I was like, you're running far too much. You're going to kill this kid.
I want to ask you, speaking on that, because this is something that really stuck out to me. I watched that whole game from the opening whistle until it was over. When he had that run in the fourth quarter and they were like down and he was trying to come back.
Oh, and he turned his back and
they kept replaying it. They were like, I was like,
I felt that.
Because they didn't even mention it on the broadcast. Chris didn't even bring it up. He was just like, yeah, you know, he put his, you know, he's shifty. He put his shoulder down and just ran for it. And I'm like, how is no one talking about how he got twisted up and then slammed to the ground? Like, that was a violent hit by Ellis.
I was going to say, like, I think they called a timeout after that. And then, like, he was, like, in, like, that crouch position.
Yeah.
Like, catching his breath. He stands up. Mariota comes and checks on him. I was like,
yeah.
I was like, well, Mariota got to tell you, like, hey, take it easy, kid. You know you're doing something wrong.
And Mike Tirico and Chris Collinsworth were like, oh, yeah, they just called a timeout because he has to catch his breath. And I go, no, he got knocked the fuck out, man.
Beamed. Like, yeah, no, he slipped, like, three defenders. And then he was, like, his back was turned. And he was like kind of backpedaling, and then somebody came from his blind
Ellis
side.
The linebacker just came.
It was Ellis,
and smashed
just came and cracked him. I was like, oh God.
Which it was a violent hit, but I am pro that. Like, if the quarterback wants to run, make
if you out here,
running.
Like, if you're gonna be out here with the big boys breaking tackles and standing up, yeah, you're gonna get this. You're gonna get that wood. But yeah, he had 16 carries for $127. He ended up breaking the rookie quarterback rushing record, which was held by former Washington football team player RG3. And Daniels threw for three touchdowns. On the other side, the Atlanta Falcons, they ended up losing in overtime, 30-24, with Michael Penix in his second game. Brennan, question for you. The way things have shaken out, and I feel like this game is a microcosm of what Atlanta could have done, do you think the Falcons misplayed this entire season? Going back to the decision that we talked, that, you know, had the news world ablaze when they signed Kirk Cousins, then drafted Michael Penix.
Yeah, hindsight is 20/20, but Michael Penix looks like he is the guy. There was a couple of throws. I mean, he's a rookie, so there's some mistakes, and he hasn't played that much. But there's a couple of throws where you go, oh, yeah, they got it. They're good. And because he's, other than his injury concerns, which are valid, he missed four full seasons due to injuries in college.
That is not
He was
true.
A six-year senior. He's a super senior.
It's not true.
What?
You say he missed four full seasons?
No, but I'm sorry. He had four season-ending injuries in college. You're right. That's the better way to phrase it. He did have four season-ending injuries in college. So that's – but the decision – and this is what it always comes down to is health. Yeah. So the decision looks terrible. If you're going to draft Michael Penix, he looks like he could have been your starter week one, if not like week three or four. So the $90 million guaranteed you spent on Kirk Cousins looks like a stupid. You could have gone out and gotten two defensive ends for that, and your defense has the worst sack total in the NFL.
But I will say, dang, you said something that really threw me there. If injuries were going to be a concern for Michael Penix, why sign the guy coming off an Achilles tear?
Yeah, and also, if injuries were that big of a concern, you don't draft him eight. You draft him in the third round. Yeah, no, you're right.
If we're going to have injury concerns, like, you did not operate with injuries being concerns.
And Kirk Cousins, I think we brought this up last week. It was that interesting stat where he had the least amount of movement within the pocket out of
Zero
any quarterback in the NFL. Like, they measure that now, and he didn't even. Yeah, so I think the Penix pick was smart. I think they look like the smartest people in the room right now.
I thought the Penix pick was fine. My issue
pairing it with Kirk Cousins was stupid.
The problem was, if you're going to get Kirk Cousins, then you get a player that can help you now. But, and then if you're going to get Penix, go get free agents that can help you for the next two, three years, not somebody who's going to help you for 12 games. And then it's like, all right, change clothes. Like, if you had – the difference is, if you had Kirk Cousins on your roster already and then you draft a Penix, that feels more like, hey, we have Flacco. We're drafting Lamar because we're looking forward. We have Rodgers. We're drafting Jordan Love because we're looking forward. It's the signing him to a four-year $100 million contract, $90 million guaranteed. It's not like Sam Darnold getting a one-year deal and then showing and proving. You signed him for 4 years. That's a commitment. That's going to strain your cap for the next – 3-4 years and limit what you can do in to improve this team. So, and the reason I say this game is a microcosm is the reason I say this game is a microcosm of that decision is because on the other side, you have a team who drafted their quarterback, decided to start him from week one, and they have 11 wins and they are rolling. And that team is already in the makeup of him where Penix is now trying to form an identity with this team. This could have been a well-established. There's games you lost. You could have won if you had somebody who could throw between the numbers. Kirk Cousins can't move. And it's like, I've never seen Drake London look so good because he finally has a quarterback who can throw him the damn ball.
How long do you think it takes Penix to realize he can't throw to Michael Pitts?
Kyle Pitts.
Pitts had a huge drop, fourth down. Oh, it wasn't an easy catch, but he had his hands on it and just dropped it.
And then last week, he had the most ridiculous interception.
And it's like, oh, yeah, this is where why this guy's a fantasy.
Where he just hot potatoed to somebody.
Did you at any point in this game feel like Washington was going to lose? Because I know Jaden's a rookie, but I had no doubt that they were going to win this game.
Well, the thing is, he was playing against another rookie. And in terms of anything, he's the more experienced rookie at this point.
Yeah.
I don't think I thought they were going to lose, but as an Eagle fan, I was hoping they would lose.
Yeah, well, also, you've seen this firsthand because in that Eagles-Atlanta game, we were like, oh, Philly's got this, and then Saquon drops that pass, and you're like, wait, what just happened?
Yeah.
Nick Sirianni winning games in spite of himself.
Man.
That team is like, we're going to carry you to a Super Bowl, you piece of shit.
I've always said Sirianni – bad offensive mind, good coach.
Yeah.
The right coach, right attitude for Philly. I think he's phenomenal. Don't let him make a game plan.
Get him out of
the quarterback room.
This is the reverse Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien, great coach, terrible GM. Why is this guy drafting?
Don't let him be your GM.
See what he did at Boston College? This guy could coach, but don't put him in the room.
Don't let him be your GM.
All right, we got to move on.
That's all he did at Penn State. So don't let him be your GM.
Yeah.
He was at Penn State, then he went to Houston. Now he's at Boston College. So he's making some leaps there. I was connecting the dots, and some would say...
Uh-oh.
Sam Darnold has connected the dots. Sam Darnold has the most wins, has more wins this season than he had his entire time as a Jet.
I believe I had that.
Which is insane. Yeah, Brendan, you kind of had that. Sam the man showed up. He showed improved.
As Joe says, he had one good game in college and everybody thought this guy could play.
Well, come on.
I never gave up hope.
I can
never lost it.
If I'm throwing it to Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, right. If I had Justin Jefferson and Addison, I could probably get a couple of wins in the NFL too.
I get at least two. I'm just saying. I can get at least two dubs.
God, Jefferson is so good.
He's insanely talented.
And it was interesting too in this game because they used him almost as a decoy for the first three quarters.
Yeah. And then he just exploded. I wish they used their running game a little more. As somebody who had Aaron Jones in fantasy lost their fantasy by like 6-7 points.
Also, huge shout out
to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Just like, fuck our running backs and let's just make Baker throw 5 touchdowns from the 2-yard line.
Playoffs. I'm so excited for Baker.
No, I'm annoyed because I had Bucky Irvin and they shooed handing off their running back the ball like on the 3-yard line and just kept throwing 5-yard outs in the end zone to Mike Evans.
This is all I'll say for fantasy. I was in the championship game. Terry McLaurin 1.5 points. Hunter Henry 0. Njoku was out, so I played Hunter Henry. And then
you don't want to talk to me about
Zay Flowers 5 points
this past day.
I got crushed.
I lost by like 7 points, and that was with Mike Gesicki on my bench.
Oh, come on now.
I've picked up Tucker Kraft thinking like he might go crazy, and I played him, didn't play Gesicki. That was the first mistake. Second mistake, and I'll never make it again. Jaden Reed, you're never getting drafted to my team in life. 1 point. Hit like 1.6. I'm like, Watson's not even here. Why is he not getting the ball?
Yeah, Jayden Reed killed some teams in the playoffs.
Oh my God. Destroyed me. Knows on my bench. Fucking, don't even know his first name. McMillan, the rookie for Tampa Bay.
Oh, yeah.
Two touchdowns. I lost by 8 points.
That is the one thing I take solace in, is I got destroyed because
and
three
the
of
last
my-
thing. The last thing. Brock Purdy. Just don't throw interceptions to the defense that's missing 13 people. Stay
that
in the
insane.
Game.
That's not on the Jared rundown, Goff, can we talk about that?
I had Jared Goff going nuts. And all I needed was it to be a proper shootout. So he would continue to go nuts. And then two interceptions, and they're like, we're just going to run the ball. And
that
then
defense
boom.
Could not stop San Francisco. Could not stop them. And Brock Purdy gave them two scores.
Just gave it away.
Scores. Gave them two
insane.
Scores. It was crazy. Green Bay's no good, though, by the way.
Green Bay's not good. so a lot of this year, people, because the NFC North has been having a stranglehold on, like, the records-wise. But the reason I put the question, I said, how good is Green Bay? Because if you go look at the games they lost, not the games they won, if you look at the games they lost, it kind of tells you where their ceiling is going forward. Lost to the Eagles, lost to the Vikings twice, lost to the Lions twice. That's the top of the NFC right there. If you're not going to win those games, I don't know what to say for you.
Two of those three teams are viable contenders for this.
Now,
season.
What I will give them is each of those games were close. But the thing that you see, because I can't remember every game. I know the Eagles game had happened. As well as the Vikings game, down early, having to come back, backdoor cover, more or less. Yeah. So you're out of it for a lot of it, and then you kind of rope yourself back in last.
Well, that's
second.
What happened with this game. This game.
That's what I'm saying. The Eagles game and this close. Game, I remember vividly. Like, it was a bloodbath, and then it was like, oh, let's kick it into gear, guys. And then like, oh, now you're scoring. Like, little too late.
Yeah,
so.
this is kind of a problem that Baltimore faces sometimes too. Is they go down early and then all of a sudden they're playing catch up, and Baltimore is a good enough team to where they can get out of it. Green Bay is not though.
Yeah.
Green Bay is not.
Green Bay, and we talked about it earlier this season. A lot of the defense that has we seen improve. A lot of that is predicated on turnovers. So if you're not getting those turnovers, it's harder for that defense to be good.
Yeah, especially when you play teams that are less
who aren't
going to
turn the ball over that much. Yeah, like the good teams, they're not. That's like the hallmark
and
of a good team.
That's a lot of times like over. I wouldn't say Sam Darnold is like he like makes great decisions. Just the structure that KOC has in that offense is like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, you're not going to take
you're
not going to take enough risky plays to. Get
that's
you
why
in bad
all those
positions.
Receivers are eating because it's like if they're going to triple Justin Jefferson, someone's going to be open. Throw it
somebody's
to the open.
Somebody's going to be open. And then the time you throw to Justin Jefferson, let's throw it where either he can get it or it's going to be over his head. And that's it. So, but all right, next game. This is the last game.
Oh,
in the big
oh
three.
My.
And this is a Saturday one. Brennan, I got to sneeze. Brennan, will the Cincinnati Bengals make the playoffs?
I hope beyond hope. I was riding Denver for the longest time. That was my fantasy defense. They scored over 20 points in four separate games this year. Love me some Denver. But as a Joe Burrow defender on this podcast and through text chains with Joe for the last 3 months, I
3 months, say like hope- 2 years.
And it will buck the trend. Cincinnati was one of these teams where it's like, no team that's ever started like this has made the playoffs. No team.
I know it'd be very annoying because I talked all year. You can't have a slow start. And if they fucking make it.
And I've referenced that to people. I was talking to my uncle the other day about the games this weekend. And I was like, yeah, the problem with Cincinnati is they had a slow start. And as my co-host always says, eventually it's going to catch up to you. And this year it looked like it did. But wait, maybe it didn't.
Maybe it did.
I hope they make the playoffs. So they need Denver to lose and Miami to lose, and they need to win. Denver is playing against Kansas City, who's not starting anybody.
He's benching everybody.
Yeah, yes. Miami's playing the Jets, which should be an easy win, but they're going in with Snoop Huntley, so that might also not be guaranteed.
I don't know if Tua's playing or not. Tua may play.
He said, yeah, they've been kind of up in the air about it, but just
going very coy.
But yeah, Miami will make the playoffs. But the big issue, hold on.
The bigger issue is Cincinnati has to face a desperate Pittsburgh team, because if Pittsburgh loses, that will greatly impact their position in the playoffs. I think, again, I don't know why the NFL is not doing it like the EPL. This is my one EPL has all the greatest methodologies. The final game of the English Premier League, everybody plays at 1 o'clock. So you can't see who shakes out where, because everything's happening. And I don't think the NFL should do that. You should still have 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, and your night game, whatever. But they have Saturday games. Baltimore plays before Pittsburgh on Saturday. So therefore, Pittsburgh is already going to know if they lost the division.
Yeah.
So then they're just playing for five or six, which is dumb.
Yeah, especially because you can pull starters at that point. And do
yeah, like, it's silly.
I hope Cincinnati makes the playoffs so badly. Especially, too, because they've gotten boned a little bit in this. They're the only team in NFL history that's gone 1-4 when they've scored 30 or more points.
Like, well, as I tell my buddies all the time, because they want to get rid of defense and special team and fantasy, there's a reason there's three phases to the game, guys.
Yeah.
You can't get fat and happy off one. You got to flush out this. The team.
I've brought this up like a bunch of times, but remember when Big Lou was like the hot coach?
Oh, hottest commodity. And then, but the cheapness of the Brown family, they let go of everybody. They let everyone walk. Jesse Bates, walk.
Cam Taylor-Britt, still a dog on that team, though. Love that guy.
He's a yapper. Oh, my gosh.
I know. That's why I like him. It's weird because I don't like your guy, Gardner Johnson.
You don't?
But I do like Britt. Wow. I don't know why. It's like that's the same kind of guy. They talk a lot of shit. They get picks. They back it up. But one of them I don't like, and one of them I love.
Where is Cam Taylor-Britt from is the question. Or what school did he go to is the question.
Somewhere in Florida. I guarantee you he's from Florida.
I feel like he's a Florida guy. That's why I was thinking of it, because I was going to say CJ is a Gator, and that might be. Oh, no. Cam Taylor-Britt, Nebraska.
Yeah, but where's he from?
That's not what I was concerned about. Alabama. I was concerned about where they went to school.
I guess I got to like Johnson better because he's from Alabama and went to Nebraska, whereas Johnson.
Boy. No, you mean Taylor-Britt is from Alabama, went to Nebraska.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's why I got to like Gardner Johnson more, because he's a Florida boy. Yeah. I got to flip-flop that.
Is he Florida through and through?
I'm pulling it up.
I know he went to college at Florida. He could be one of those Louisiana to Florida guys.
Such a long there's a lot name, of those. CJ Gardner Johnson.
Yeah, it's too long.
Yeah, my boy is from, he went to Cocoa High School, baby. Cocoa, okay. Florida. Okay. Let's go. All right.
Not even Cocoa Beach, just went to Cocoa. That's
yeah, just Cocoa. That's wild. That's the more western part of Cocoa Beach.
One more row.
It's like people that are from Tampa and not Tampa Bay. Philadelphia Eagles beat the Cowboys. Nothing like seeing the demise of two teams you dislike as Eagles fans. We beat the Cowboys, and then the 49ers got embarrassed on Monday Night Football. But yeah, great win. Saquon got 2,000. That was dope to see. Tanner McKee stepped in after Kenny Pickett stepped in. AJ 8, Devontae 8, defense 8. Fucking good win. Just a good win.
Good win. Yeah.
Just a good win. Like,
it was a 40-7.
41-7. Yeah. Just a good win. And hey, I'm not gonna say what I wanted to say. The first thing that came to my mind. You know, I just self-edited. But Micah Parsons, just relax. You'll be an Eagle soon, buddy. All right. It's all good. All right. If we get rid of the scoreboard, I don't know if you know how the games are played, but the scoreboards are kind of the point. It wasn't close. All right. Your offense kept fumbling and we kept scoring. That's kind of how it works. So just bide your time and you'll be an Eagle soon.
You'll be an Eagle, baby.
You'll be an Eagle soon.
You know what separates the winners from the losers, kid? The score.
You know, I meant to tell you about that in the pre-production. I've been going to the gym a lot lately. And when I go to the gym at night by myself without the lady, without fail, the replacement is on TNT.
TBS or TNT or whatever. Hell yeah, man.
Without fail. Like,
that movie will get you hyped up.
I've seen it like twice in a month. I'm like, how do I keep seeing this?
We got him. He's in, folks. He's in.
I like the movie, but I'm just
can
like,
I just say real quick about this game?
Go ahead.
It was interesting because in the pregame, whatever, like the commentators are talking and stuff, and they were like, Kenny Pickett, Philadelphia kid, Pennsylvania kid, you know he wants to win this game for Philadelphia. You know he wants to win this game. And then one of the commentators interrupted and he goes, yeah, but what about Micah Parsons? Like, he doesn't care like where he's from. He doesn't care about any of those rivalries. And it was just interesting because now in hindsight, Philly waxing them. And I thought to myself, yeah, maybe caring about the game a little bit more than just this is my job means a lot.
I mean, it also helps that Philly is a team that's good and in playoff contention, and Cowboys are kind of like done. So
yeah,
like they shut CeeDee Lamb down. Like it's a nothing burger really of a game. Just funny to dance on their grave, but they were not designed to win. They were never gonna win that game. And Micah, Pennsylvania kid, he'll be here soon, without doubt, without fail. Look, the Penn State, the Pitt pipeline to a person eventually getting to Philly. LeSean McCoy, Pitt, ended up on Philly. Kenny Pickett, Pitt, ended up on Philly. Saquon, Penn State, ended up on Philly. It's bound to happen.
One more row.
All right, let's talk about it. My Jacksonville Jaguars take down our hated rival, the Tennessee Titans. This year, it doesn't mean a whole lot because of the state of both the teams. But let me just tell you, Tennessee has beaten us in the playoffs before. Tennessee has kept us out of the playoffs before. If you are a Jags fan, you hate Tennessee. In fact, like, the running meme is just very simple. Fuck the Titans. So happy to get this win. Mac Jones looking like he's having fun. Brian Thomas Jr., top five receiver this year in receptions and yards and touchdowns as a rookie. I think he's number two as far as rookies, or number one as far as rookies, but he's like top five in all three of those categories as just a receiver. Very excited about this.
I was saying, in a year where Brock Bowers isn't on the worst receiving core and just getting every pass thrown to him, there will be a lot more discussion about Brian Thompson.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm really excited for the future of this team. Excited to get a new coach in there next year. Hopefully make some moves with the GM and see if we can get on a path. We have the team. We have the roster. I believe in this roster. I love this roster.
You're Trayvon a good Walker offensive really, line and a we need better an offensive running line. Back.
Nah, Tank's going to be the guy, man. Tank's going to be the guy. Room. We just need to improve. Yeah, that's true. Travis Etienne, maybe get his little brother playing over there at Alabama.
Defense-wise,
is
I
good.
Like we your front need another seven corner. A fair bit. I was about to say this: the DBs are...
We have one shutdown corner, and then Cisco is probably one of the top 10 safeties in the NFL. The problem is he's injury prone, and he was when he was at Syracuse too. He gets hurt a lot. That's why he dropped so far in the draft.
What about your Mike and your Will?
Our Mike is Aluakon. We took from Atlanta. He is the heartbeat of that team, but he was out for the first six games. So like the Mike I'm not worried about. Will is Devin Lloyd. Took him out of Utah in the first round a couple years ago. Solid player, nothing to write home about, but Aluakon is the heartbeat and soul. Him and Josh Hines Allen. As long as we have those two guys, I'm riding with this defense. We just need to clean up a little in the back end. Back end in the offensive line. I'm telling you, man, laugh now. Everybody say your shit now. We're coming for Houston next year, baby. This is, the South is ours.
Like I did that, Mike and Will. A lot of people don't know. I played football a little bit.
That was good. That was good. Played a little Madden here and there. I know what a Sam is.
I mean, eighth grade.
Do you know what Will stands
Buddy Taylor?
For?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, weak side linebacker.
Yeah, let's go.
Come on. What are we doing here? Come on. I did a summer of workout, and then the coach pissed me off, and I quit. I just never played football again.
As my cousin says, we had creative differences. I was creative. He thought I was different.
Yeah. I mean, my issue was it was the year after we just moved to Palm Coast, and we were going back home for the summer, And we had started the summer program. And I was like, hey, I'm going to be out of town for like a week or two. And he was like, if you're not committed, da, da, da. And I was like, yeah, I'm out. I was like, I don't need to hear this from you, old man. I don't know you, bro. Like, old I'm going to go play basketball anyways. Yeah. All right. Oh, moving on. Coach Claiborne, you're a cool dude. You're a shitty coach. Brennan, the picks for the college football playoffs. Arizona State or Texas? Who you got?
Texas.
All right. I got Texas. Oregon, OSU. Who you got?
This is probably the hardest one to pick. I got OSU. They barely lost the first time. I think they have more talent on the defense.
All right. I'm going to go Oregon because I've seen OSU fail in big games time
after
time.
That is true. This isn't CJ Stroud's OSU.
This is not. And that team lost too. Boise or Penn State?
Come on. Penn State.
All right. I'm going Boise. Have you seen Genty? You don't know Genty. Yeah, that's why you're looking at me like that. Genty had a
Boise State to win, but you know, this is just
Penn
how
State,
it always
honestly, if you watch that first game Penn State played, and I know you didn't, they didn't look that good offensively. The problem was their benefit was SMU's quarterback just kept handing them the ball.
Just threw
it. Just kept giving them the ball. Gave them so many opportunities. But I think Boise will be less turnover prone, and they will commit and establish that run game, and they will run all over Penn State. This is, to me, the biggest one. Georgia-Notre Dame.
Really? This might be my hottest take. Georgia's going to boat race Notre Dame.
Really? With their backup quarterback?
Yes.
Wow. Wow.
Georgia's backup quarterback could start anywhere in the country if you wanted to.
I don't know.
I've heard, I don't watch a lot of college football, but like I said, I bled into a bunch of my podcasts.
I don't think he could start anywhere.
Well, according to some of my podcasts,
I don't think so.
Todd McShay and a few other people where my NFL gets bled into by
college. Where does he work now? He doesn't work for ESPN anymore. He's a hack. No.
Works for the Ringer.
A bunch of hacks.
But I just, as someone who's,
I would work for the Ringer in a heartbeat.
As someone who is, I was going to say played between the hedges, but I've gone between the hedges. I didn't actually play in that game. Georgia's got dudes every year. They're like fucking clones of each other. Yeah, they're so good. Notre Dame is always like, oh, this is the team. And then every year they have a weird loss. They did it last year. They did it this year. They're going to get boat raced by the talent that Georgia could just exclusively run the ball and beat them by two scores.
Yeah, if that's the game plan, honestly, they probably could. But I don't know, man.
I love Notre Dame's coach, by the way.
I think it's my guy.
Yeah.
It's my guy.
Just hate the fact that he coached.
Can I remember his name right now? I can't.
Hamilton or
not Hamilton. He's black and Asian, though.
I know.
But he looks black. He looks all black. He's a gorgeous human being.
Pause.
It's like Marcus Freeman. Got it.
Freeman.
Boom. Come on. Wasn't going to let my brother down. I saw Brennan typing. I was like, I got to get this first. I don't know. The problem is I have hate for both of these teams. I have hate for Georgia just because they've been good for the last couple of years. And they personify the next 10 years of SEC dominance in a way that Texas doesn't just yet because Texas is coming over from a division. So I would like to see Notre Dame beat the team that won the SEC championship. And all those people like, oh, the SEC should just play every they can shut up. But a part of me also knows that Notre Dame lost to Northern Illinois and they don't play in a conference. And if they did play in a conference, they wouldn't be in this position because they would have to face stiffer competition than Army and Navy every 100% single year. And USC, who is not good. So, yeah.
This is not our USC.
My head is telling me Georgia, but my heart is telling me Marcus Freeman and them boys going to show up, which they won't, though. They won't. You're right. They're going to lose. Do you have 5 minutes left?
Yes. Okay. I'm trying to do that without saying it into the microphone.
You just held it. And I was like,
I know. That was...
a little something. A little
well, I was going to hold up a light, but I didn't know if you'd get that.
Ah, yeah, I would have got that. I just listened to a podcast. You guys talked about the light. So the NBA is happening right now. Christmas Day games were spectacular. LeBron turning back the clock. His game against Curry was amazing. Minnesota versus Dallas was fantastic to watch. Wemby dropping 40 on Christmas morning, playing against the Knicks at the Mecca. That was pretty dope to see. Right now, the top hasn't changed much for the East. The East is pretty much the East at this point.
It's gonna Can we talk about Orlando coming through in a big bad way without their stars?
Without their two stars. I was going to get to that when I said the Cavs are number one, Boston number two. Knicks are number three. The team nobody first saw, the Orlando Magic. I'm in a group chat with a bunch of Orlando Magic fans, and they will not let me forget it because I made bold predictions, and the chickens have come to roost. 2 years ago, I was like, you guys got 3 point guards. This isn't going to work. Every time Cole Anthony does anything, I'm getting a text. I'm like, all right, ding, all right. Ding, 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 ding. Jalen Suggs has 5 assists. I'm like, okay, all right, you got me. The Hawks have found their way into the top 5, and the Bucks are at number 6. 7 is the Miami Heat, who had a fight, an actual physical altercation, with Amon Thompson or Asir Thompson. I can't remember which one plays for the Houston Rockets. Threw down Tyler Hero, and it caused a melee of sorts. And Ime Udoka was in there. He had to be pulled away. I think he got ejected from the game. 6 people were ejected from the game. The Pacers, who was last year's out-of-nowhere team, has fallen down to earth a little bit there. It's 8. Chicago and then Detroit. Wow, Detroit finding their way. Whoa, the Sixers are – yeah, no, that – I mean, the Sixers have sucked all year. That Paul George thing did not work whatsoever. The Pistons, who have been in obscurity for the last decade plus, found their way to the 10th seed in Philly.
Trust the process.
In the West,
the Pistons don't have a terrible team.
They don't have a terrible team. They have a young team. They lack experience. And then
they made that coaching mistake. What, they give Monty Williams like $100
million? Yeah, they gave him all the money in the world. And he didn't want to coach. And
yeah,
it bore out.
Now again, I think you have to have a little bit of passion. Team. Micah Parsons, take some notes.
OKC, number one. Memphis has bounced back. Now healthy Ja. They look good again. The Rockets sitting at number 3. Dallas, number 4. Clippers at number 5. Nuggets at number 6. Nuggets can't string 4 games together to save their life. Every time they got 2 good ones, they get 2 bad ones. So annoying. Lakers, number 7, who just made a trade getting D'Angelo Russell out of there, bringing in Dorian Finney-Smith, trying to lock in on defense. Still don't know who their point guard is supposed to be, though. I hope it's not the guy who just turned 40. The Minnesota Timberwolves are at number 8, fall from grace. That cat trade is looking like the bad trade. Spurs jumping at number 9, and the Warriors at number 10. Right now, the Phoenix Sun, who would have thought, Brennan? A team that had 3 guys who have dealt with injury keep having issues with one of them constantly being in or out.
Wait, they currently the team with the highest payroll in the NBA isn't performing to the highest payroll in the NBA?
They are currently sitting out. And a team we had a lot of high hopes for, who was on like an ascension at a couple years ago. The Sacramento Kings find themselves out, and they fired their coach, Mike Brown. Happy for him to get out of that hellscape that is Sacramento. Their management is terrible, has been for quite some time. And you know what? Fired without cause, you get paid. One thing I do want to ask you, though, and you don't even have to answer this, we'll just go into the quick hits. Does Zion Williamson still play basketball?
And you'll be surprised how quick.
Quick! Name it hits.
Quick hit.
Just had that thought the other day.
It's sad, too, because when he was on, but
he looked amazing. And I just don't know if he's playing. NHL, the Florida Panthers are at the top of the Cat Atlantic, followed behind the Maple Leafs and the Bruins. The New Jersey Devils, who've been in obscurity for quite some time, are number one in the Metropolitan. The Washington Caps, they weathered the storm without Ovi being there. They look like a really good team. He's come back. I believe he scored in his first game back. So he's still setting pace to try to catch Wayne Gretzky in goals, not points, but goals. The wild card, your Tampa Bay Lightning are the first wild card. And then the Ottawa Senators are right behind them. The Flyers, who were on a hot streak to start the season. They had a good start to the season. They have fell back a little bit. Sorry, Kyle. The Rangers and the Islanders have fallen from grace entirely. And in the West, you got the Winnipeg Jets, the Minnesota Wild, and the Colorado Avalanche coming in at 3rd in the Central. right now. And then you got the in the Pacific, you got Scots Knights, you got the somehow Scots Kings, and the Edmonton Oilers in the Pacific. Then you got the Dallas Star and the Vancouver Canucks in the wild card. Calgary, not too far behind. Utah Hockey Club, not too far behind. Let's not forget about the Hockey Club. Brennan, you know what time it is.
Oh, yeah. All right, we got to do a quick version.
All right, a quick version. Man, I don't want to do a quick version so bad. So Fulham went up to Stamford Bridge to face their blood rival in Southwest London, Chelsea Football Club. And Fulham hadn't won at Stamford Bridge in 45 years. And sometimes things are meant to be broken. Two goals late from Harry Wilson and Rodrigo Muniz to capture that victory on Boxing Day. What a lovely treat. And then Sunday we played against another top six side in Bournemouth. Bournemouth scored first. Then we scored two to go up. Another goal. One goal from Raul. Wait, no. Did Raul score first? Sorry, we scored first. Then they equalized. Why can't I remember? Raul Jimenez scored a header off of a Andreas Pereira corner.
Evelynson scored in the 51st.
Yeah, and then Harry Wilson scored in the second half. And we looked to be riding high, looked to be over.
Had
and
it.
They scored in like the 92nd or 93rd minute or something.
89th minute.
89th minute, yeah. It was a late one. That was very annoying. But undefeated in the month of December. Took no losses, only draws or wins. That Stamford Bridge win was spectacular.
But let's talk about the real headline. Chelsea, Arsenal, drew with Arsenal.
Liverpool.
Beat Chelsea. Liverpool. I mean, come on. Like, these are top tides.
Look, again, the problem with that, though, is, and I'll say this every week until they start to prove me wrong. If we're going to beat and draw with the top clubs, we have to then get up and beat the bottom sides. Southampton, you can't draw with Southampton. Ipswich, you can't draw with Ipswich. Like, consistency in play and in form is what will take us to Europe and beyond because we have the talent. The talent is there, obviously, if we're competing with the best clubs.
Boat raced by the Wolverhampton Wanderers.
Yeah, we got to be 4-1 to Wolves. Like, you got to beat those teams. You got to get up for every game, not just the big ones. Obviously, get up for the big ones because those are the big ones. Those are the marquee games. But you got to also get up for those other games. You got to beat those teams. You got to establish yourself as a top side.
The point value is the point value. Like, it doesn't matter if it's Ipswich or if it's Arsenal.
Exactly.
The points are the points.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you got to go get three from whoever you can get three from. So.
All right.
But yes. All right. Well,
time.
Did I nail it in the 5 minutes? I think I did.
No, we're way over, but that's
okay. Dang. Well, I tried my best. I had to get three sports in there.
I know.
So let's get out.
I killed it. I'm just saying.
And we'll bring you the press conference in its entirety.
Brendan, where can we find you?
At Brennan T Comedy on all social media, BrennanTComedy.com. I'll be in LA in March the 19th to the 23rd. Check me out on the March 22nd at the Comedy Store for Riff Raff, No Material Comedy Show. And check out my other podcast, X Drinking Buddy. I have a guest on every week to talk about their best and worst drinking, drug, party, and getting in trouble stories. Joe.
Question. Sorry to make a long thing longer. You're going to be in LA for like a week, right?
Yeah, 5 days.
So Riff Raff is the only show you have booked right now.
Yeah.
Are you going to be doing pods out there?
I'm going to try.
Okay. Well, I'm saying, are you going to have people there on your pod?
That's what. Yeah.
Okay.
I have an in at the All Things Comedy Network, so I'm going to try and record there.
That's what I'm talking about. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Blue Sky at Joe Dorville. Twitter, Instagram, Blue Sky at Joe Dorville. You can find the show's Twitter and Instagram and Blue Sky at Caring Press. Don't forget to check all the other shows on the Anulo Network. That is Anulo. That is Who Does a Podcast. Our year-end review, it comes out tomorrow on New Year's Day. And the final Oh Boy Awards, the year-end review is for Who Does a Pod. That's where we recap everything we cover. The one I really worked hard on, the where I'm freaking spent hours and hours listening to my own voice, which I don't love, was the Oh Boy Awards. That comes out this week. I don't know when the hell Scott's going to put it out. Who knows? The final Best Moments Year recap clip show. But yeah, check out my music and merch under the moniker Headphone Joe, no O, no E, headphonejoe.etsy.com for the merch. All DSPs, just Headphone Joe for the music. Brennan, I haven't eaten and I worked out. Let's get out of here.
And that's why we play the game.
Hello.
Hello. You shout out Greg Gumbel. A historic career.
Legendary.